Last week we looked at the bowl judgments, and remember, the judgment is for what? For people to repent. And remember, the bowls are symbolic of the saints, the tribulation saints that were martyred, okay? And this special bowl was there before God, and God answered prayer. I pray today that God is answering our prayers, and God, we know, is always there. You know, yes, he is between the two cherubim and his holiness, his majesty, but we looked at also one of our messages. We looked at the temple. It's a temple of grace, but a temple of doom, and also, too, there is the temple that we have, right? Our body is what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. So, remember, we should be in tune. I know if you play bass or guitar, you have to tune those strings right? So God is in tune with us. And so we're going to continue to go on here. So there were seven bowl judgments. And remember, the trumpets were what? A call. The seven were a call to what? Repentance. And before that, there were seven seals. And remember, there's only one person that could open up the seventh seal, and that was Jesus Christ, because he had the deed to earth, that we know about this late great planet Earth that we live in. Have you ever read that book by Hal Lindsey? It was a good book up to a point until Hal decided he was going to interpret when Jesus was coming back. There was another man last September, a group of people, thought Christ was going to come back, and they were wrong because he went by the Jewish calendar. There's another group of people that think Jesus is going to come back. But like it says in Matthew 24, no one knows when Christ is coming back except my Father. Okay? Not even the angels know. So we have to read the word. And yes, study what you need to study. Be Bereans. Search the truth. Okay? Because we live in we want to be in light, which is the truth. And the world is full of darkness, which are there are a lot of lies going around. Okay, so let me get into this here. Chapter 17 highlights God's judgment of the wicked religious system. So we're going to look at the religious system. There's religion all over the place. We're going to be getting into all kinds of religion today, as well as the atheist and the communist and so on and so forth. There's also chapter 18 we're going to look at next week, the political and the commercial system which God judges. And we're going to see that. So let me see in verse 1 it says, and if you're taking an outline, the scarlet woman and the beast, or we're going to look at verses 1 through 6, and the meaning of them both is found in verses 7 through 18. Okay? I'm not necessarily into titles, okay? I'm more into the expository word of God and preach it as it was meant to be written. Because one day I have to answer to God just like you all do. And, you know, I want to have my peace. And I want the Lord to say, well done, thy good, what? Faithful servant. And I pray we'll continue to be faithful. That's the key to our relationship. So, says here that in verse 1, it says, then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, come, and I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters. Now, this is a picture of a prostitute, as it were, back in the day. It's very common to have prostitutes back in the day, but there is also a second meaning behind this. This is referring to religion, a religion that prostitutes itself so it can do what? Gain power. It's not about romance. It's not about a job that a prostitute has to do. There are many religions out there. And by the way, for you historians out there, there were just as many male prostitutes as there were female prostitutes. It's one of the oldest jobs out there today. People do it for all kinds of reasons. It was never about the sex. It was about feeding themselves for their families. Yes, there are, and I pray for prostitutes too, for those out there that are on drugs. So this is a picture of what? The apostate religion, okay? They have all the bells and whistles, but it's not of God, okay? That's why it's so important. That's why you see, you meet a lot of people out there today that claim they have religion in all sizes and shapes, but yet when you really listen to them, they're not into what they're doing. They're there because, and I'm not here as a pastor to judge anybody. I'm here to love people. We are here to love people, not to judge them. That is God's part. But you have a lot of people that are lost just going to a church, pretending that that will get them to heaven, their tithes or whatever, even showing up for church. Okay, but they are lost. And when the Lord comes back, they will be left behind, as it were, and they need Jesus. And pray, and I hope that these people will get saved. And so it's a very unpopular thing to preach behind the pulpit. So in verse 1, we're looking here at the great harlot who sits on many waters, that has the idea of many places around the earth. That's a picture of that, of many areas around the world, okay? And there are many religions. It says here, Romans chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of God and uncorruptible God into the image made like into corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed beasts, creeping things. In other words, they worship creation. Where does that fit in today, Pastor? Well, it's called can't get the word out because my mouth here, I had a couple teeth pulled the other week. It starts with a U, pardon me, I can't get the word out. But has the idea is that nature, they worship nature. People do that today. You know, that church is, you know, in that church there's a chair that has God in it. Don't you know that God is in everything around here? You know? And so that's what they talk about, what they preach. And they all say that mankind, you know, don't you know God, part of God lives in you today too? So there's churches that believe in that, and I can't pronounce the name. So I'm going to put that aside. Just remember, there are people that worship nature, say God's in nature and everything. Okay, and 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says, now the Spirit speaketh especially that in latter times that some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Do you realize that the Quran is accepted in every country around the world? Okay? And yet the Bible is negated in 53 countries. They won't allow it. Why? Because, again, there is a spiritual battle going on. And so that is just part of the what's going on. The Quran bears no resemblance to the Jesus of the Bible. It's a different Jesus altogether. They believe this, that he was only a prophet, and that Allah took him up to heaven. When Jesus returns, he will be a follower of Muhammad and will kill the Antichrist, break the cross, and slay the pigs. It's talking about how we talked about last week. You have the false prophet, who's like a false Holy Spirit. You have the beast, is a false Jesus. They're looking forward to their Mahdi, who's going to come back. The more I see of this in countries, you realize here in the United States, Muslim scholars have said this. That's why I don't do canned sermons, okay? I preach from what I study from. They say 35% of what they're acquiring to do here in the United States, they have already progressed to. And they're saying by 2035, this should be a dominant Muslim country. The problem is, I hate to say this, but the church is asleep. people are fighting over, oh, well, we have to have certain kind of music at church. Oh, guess what? They don't have a kids program, so something must be wrong with them, right? Well, let me tell you something. It's about the Spirit of God and the truth of God. And we're a small congregation, and we thank God for those who have come out. But, you know, God bless the other churches. But pray for these big, big churches today. I'm not knocking them. Pray they do not fall asleep. It's not just about music. One church has 45 minutes worth of music and only 15 minutes worth of preaching. That's it. And I'm saying, my goodness, how can I learn anything from that? I don't know. But that's between that pastor and the Lord. And like I said, I love these people, but I'm not here to judge them. So the Muslims are going to come back. They're going to break the cross according to Surah chapter 4, verses 157 through 59. It's talking about breaking Christians and slaying the pigs. Those are the Jews. Okay, so they're going to come right after us and the Jews because they hate them. Okay, that's just part of it. And that also anyone who is not Christian, they should be slain. All apostates should be killed in the Quran. Anybody who renounces the Islam faith will be killed. And you've heard that later on. We're going to talk about the head being chopped off. That's in the Quran too, I believe. And also, by the way, for facts, Islam is the fastest growing religion here in the world today. Guess what? Christianity is the slowest growing religion today. If not, it's decreasing more and more because of apostasy. Jesus and Timothy and Paul warned about it. Peter warned about it. The Old Testament prophets warned about it. Apostasy is going rampant. We're living in the time of deception. And it's slowly creeping in everywhere. It's everywhere. Oh, say, well, wait a minute. Excuse me. Life is good for me right now. You know, I'm enjoying it. And it seems like we're all getting along. Well, you know what? There's a price to pay for our freedom. Amen? There's a price for it. We got to keep on fighting back. Freedom of worship. The Muslims say, yeah, we want to get along with everybody, right? It's not true, because when Muhammad started with his religion, he went after the Jews first. They're full of lies, and it's okay if you're a Muslim, if you lie to anybody else who's not of your faith, because guess what? Lying's okay. That's why we see so many lies going around today, because people are buying into it, and they're going after the young people. They can get the young people, yeah, bring all the... I'm not going to start with that. That one word starts with a Q, even though it is kind of queer. But the gays and the lesbians and all these other people come along. And it's not a hateful word, but they're using them like they did in 1979 during the Iran war. And even some of the leaders in Iran are laughing because they're saying, look, this is a religious war. We're fighting against the United States. And I pray that our president wakes up. These people are not... The news are going to tell you, oh, we're trying to make peace. There's not going to be any peace there because they're going to fight tooth, nail, and bone, however you say. They're going to fight, better believe it, because they hate America. And then, of course, there's miscellaneous crimes. They put to death the adulterer, the homosexual. I'm talking about Muslim, the Sharia law. This is all about the Sharia law. They're trying to keep out some of the states. This all ties into the Babylonian system. Listen, I'm warning you, this is happening. And yet, some people are like, oh, let them have their freedom. They know that. They started with the LBJQ 123 or whatever, giving their freedom. Adults, that's hate speech. Well, they picked that up with the Islam's, call that phobia. Oh, don't say that's hate speech. They're using that because they're manipulating people. And guess what? The church is running and tucking tail. You know what? We're all sick and tired of it. And they need Jesus. We're not gonna bash you. I don't bash Muslims. Anyway, I got to stop here. I'll keep on going. That's why also it's okay to rape a lady. You hear that in England? It's okay to go out and rape a woman. You know, you get four witnesses that are men there, they could just denounce her, and guess what? She wasn't raped. The problem is her. Yeah, how evil, how rotten that is. I know some people in jail I knew many years ago. I'm glad I'm away from that kind of lifestyle, but those people wouldn't last very long. Pedophiles, they wouldn't last long at all in jail. And, you know, they don't like other people beating on the weak people. Just really upsets me. Anyhow, let me move on here because of time. So, verse 2, with him the kings of the earth committed fornication. In other words, they decided they were going to get on the bandwagon too. You know, let's just go ahead and commit fornication. It has the idea of having sex outside of marriage of any kind of denomination there, okay? In other words, it was being done spiritually, okay? Living in the world, doing this and that. And James says, don't you know it's enmity with God? Also, we see here that verse 2, so, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. In other words, people were buying into this religious system. It's everywhere. You've heard that of many years ago, the ecumenical movement that came out in the 50s and 60s. Some of you know that very well. Let's all try to get along together and let's be as one group. And they found that it didn't work very well. And so they're saying in different religions around the world, well, we don't want to lower our stability here. We don't want to lose our congregation, so we don't want to do that. That's what they said. Now they're looking at all the hate and the wars that are going on. They're saying, well, at least we can get along. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to try to get along with the political leaders. And so that's how you have the Babylonian, you have the religious as well as the political and the economic thing going on. What we're fighting is a losing battle. That's why Europe does not want to get involved. They want to make peace with everybody. Being a missionary out there years ago, everybody was sick of communism. We went there right after the communistic fall. And people just wanted to get along. But you know who was alive and well? The apostate church. And boy, they were popular because you could bring in anything you want to church. Bring all your baggage with you, and we love you too. Okay? This preaching, this nutty preaching, this expository preaching, we don't want to hear that. That's for the history books. Those are fairy tales. Those are stories, okay, that some people made up years ago. But you know what? It's all coming true, amen? It's all coming true. But people don't want to take it seriously, so let's move on here. So they're drunk with wine with her fornication. Thank God we have a Jesus who went to the Garden of Eden, and he said, Father, if it's possible, we're having the Lord's Supper today, if it's possible, take this cup from me. He took all of our sins, and he took the sins upon himself on the cross. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that great? Isn't that amazing? Amazing love of, you know, that song. And yet you have today one person took the sins of the whole world. But yet this harlot who rides the apostate church or religion is drunk with what? The saint's death. The blood thereof. It's kind of grotesque. But it's true. Okay. So, verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast. Scarlet is a symbol of red, okay, and also of purple. And that's symbolic of royalty. And so both together means that they're very powerful, they're very rich. And so regardless of how people want to interpret it, that's how it is interpreted here. And so they're prosperous, they're nobility. So this apostate prostitute is in bed with the politicians and everybody else. I will guarantee you, and you know what? Pastors aren't supposed to say this, but every pastor Every church that I have pastored, the big churches are in with the city councils. Every one of them. I'm not supposed to say that. Oh, yes, it's true. And they have ties and they have power. And nothing really ever happens to them because they have big congregations and some of the city council go to those churches. And you better not cross the line. Except for that nutcase down the road that preaches the gospel. And guess what? His congregation, not his, but Christ's congregation. You know? And we are watched. And we are not liked. Because we are moving into their community. We're sharing the gospel. They think it's foolish. It's ridiculous. They're hoping that we would leave. They're hoping that we close the church down. So they can move in, make more money off of taxes. We're tax exempt. They don't like it. Okay? And not all city council people are bad. But I'm not going to talk about politics. So it says the gold and precious stones and pearls. It's talking about they're very, very rich. They have a lot of money. And the golden cup full of abominations and filthiness of fornication. We kind of figured that out. They're all about having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, and they're using their religion to get what they want. And on her forehead, a name was written. Now, with prostitutes, they would have names back in the day, which would have their name. They're called the teria, or the circlet, around their heads to mention their name. So if you go down the street in Rome or in Jeremiah's day, if you want to call out that prostitute, male or female, you could just call them by name. It was big business. Okay? And of course, the politicians and everybody else was in on it too. And they were marked out by their name. It says, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, of the abominations of the earth. And it has the idea here is it's descriptive. It is not a literal city, but it's a spiritual entity. Okay, they have tried to rebuild Babylon. That one man back in 1991, that dictator tried to do it, didn't work out. They have tried over the years to rebuild Babylon, even though it would make a good place to start one. But nothing has been started, and people are like, this means a spiritual Babylon. It's a spiritual adultery. And the abominations has the idea of idolatry, false religion. Oh, houses are full of idolatry today. People, you know what an idolatrous is? And I know some of us won't like it, and I don't like it sometimes because it rubs against my grain. Is that if there's anything that you put before God, you're an idolater. In other words, if God says to you, don't watch that on the screen, it means don't watch it. Or I want you to do something else and saying, God, I want to do something else. Well, that you're being an idolater, okay? So please, I'm not beating up anybody here. I mean, I have to deal with sin like anybody else, okay? It says here in verse 6, And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of martyrs of Jesus, and I saw her. I marveled with great amazement. In other words, we're looking at someone here who was full of lust and violence. Think about this. John was in heaven and was seeing a picture of this horrible beast. Okay, it's a picture of Satan. Okay? And then you had this glorious woman riding on top of this beast. And he can't believe it. This is the most beautiful things he's ever seen. And, you know, sin looks beautiful, doesn't it? Always looks good. Satan's not going to sell you something. Of course, he's going to sell you down the road. He's going to sell it to you cheap. But it looks so good. Lust of the eyes. The pride of life. Lust of the flesh. And so You have this here that John was confused, shocked, astonished, and frightened by this ghastly vision, and yet is magnificent. You know, if you ever seen that movie, Lord of the Rings, one of the movies in there has the big snake in there. I like Tolkien's stories. I like his Presbyterian, but it was a lot of good visuals in there. And the snake was pictured there in one of the movies. And there was gold all around him. And the snake was saying to one of the characters, "Don't you want this? It looks so good." He was like being memorized. He was looking at all the gold, saying, "No." And he ran. Fortunately, he got out there and the snake died. But so this beast that carries her, which has seven heads and 10 horns, he has the idea of the horn was a symbol of power. It was 10 kingdoms. As I said before, I don't believe it's the 10 nations in Europe like they taught about in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. I believe this is world compass. Why? Because like it says in verse 15, he said to me, "The waters which he saw where the harlot sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues." So says here that the 10 kingdoms and the 7 heads represent the 7 mountains, which were the kingdoms of the past. Some people say, "Oh, it's the 7 hills of Rome." Okay, no, I don't believe that, because this is a representative of kingdoms in the past. I believe this Babylonian harlot is worldwide. It's not just about Rome. But, hear me out, 5 major world empires that passed were Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, and Greece. Then there was one during John's time, which he looked at the Caesars of that time. They were like beasts. They were horrible. The way they treated Christians was horrible. Then there's a 7th one, who will be the Antichrist himself. Okay, that's what we're looking at now. Okay, the 7th mountain. Then there's the 8th, which will be what? That's that short period of time of control that he will have. Okay, as we will see here. And the 8th himself was just for about an hour. That's a short period of time. Moving on here, verse 12 says this, "And then the 10 horns which you saw are the 10 kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as the king with the beast." Like I was saying, tribulation periods are going to last a short hour, short time, 7 years. Okay, "These are the one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast." Okay, and so I will have to skip up here, that the beast that was and is not and yet is. In verse, find that verse 8. Yes, that's talking about his resurrection. Remember, God will give the beast a false resurrection during the midpoint of the tribulation period. Remember there were 2 witnesses that we talked about? God gave them that resurrection. Couldn't touch those 2 witnesses. The fire would come out of their mouth. We believe they were Elijah and Moses. Okay, Elijah is prophesied to come back in Micah. Okay, or Malachi. So, and then most expositors, most theologians believe that it's Moses. Some even think Enoch, but it doesn't matter. They were taken up. Okay, the Antichrist will give a false representation of the resurrection. So while we look at the Lord's Supper today, we'll think about that body that was, it was so cruel what they did to our Lord's body, and yet he loved us so much. That's why I don't let anything between you and the Savior. But so this had happened. That was, that is, and is to come. So this was taken out. And then verse 13, it said, "And these are the one mind. They will give their power to authority to the beast. These will make
war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, and the Lord and the King of Kings and those who are with him are called true and faithful. I have notes here, but I can't read them all, but I think I can read them next week. It's talking about the religion, the political system, and also the commercial system of Babylon. It all started with Nimrod. Okay, that word means he that rebels in Genesis chapter 10. Now all these religions come from there. And Babylon means confusion. Okay, a lot of confusing religions today. A lot of things that Satan throws in that pot just to make it taste good. Tastes good today. We see today, we taste and see if the Lord has been good. Another counterfeit. So the Lamb of God will come because the Antichrist will make war. We're going to get into the Battle of Armageddon too. We touched on a little bit of it last week. And then he said, the waters which you saw, verse 10, where the harlot sits, or the people's multitude of nations and tongues, and the beast, these will hate the harlot, and make her desolate, naked, eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. And of course, we can just look at what happens when you see the state get tired of religion. They bump out religion in different countries. It says here that the state will hate religious Babylon. Religion will have served its purpose. The state now whom wants to compete for farm control of the people and the wealth. The state will come in and take away the religious wealth they needed to control things, to feed their soldiers, to keep control of everything. This has happened during Vietnam. They did the same thing. They came in with the Buddhist temples. They stripped everything of what they had. You know that if you remember the war in Vietnam, that the communists were very cruel. Also, the state will make a religious Babylon desolate. Religion will be robbed of its monies, wealth, property, and holdings. The state will strip religious Babylon of her naked, expose her corruption and public view, showing that religion must be destroyed. In other words, they're going to pull back the curtain and say, look how corrupt it is. And yet the state is just as corrupt. And they can't say a thing because they will be killed. They will hold a gun to your head like they did with the Buddhist monks. And shoot them in the head. Have nothing, you know, you think about the killing fields in Laos. It's the same way. It was a shooting frenzy, running around killing everybody because they wanted the power. And whoever had the power, whatever will benefit the state, the loyalty of the people and the wealth consumed by the state, and the state will burn religion with fire when nothing is left except ashes. It's just like today what they're trying to do in the United States. I don't have time to get into this, but you had a group of communists back in 1971. They said, this is our plan. We're going to open up the border. And I still think our previous president, he was controlled by people behind the scenes. They will ruin, number two, they will ruin the dollar. Spend it into infinity. This is what the communists want to do. Number three, destroy the Constitution. I remember back in the 70s hearing about that. A few of the people in the House wanted to destroy the Constitution. I thought, that's crazy. If these people ever get a hold of this and they run with it, we're done as a country. And then make peace with the communists or be communistic-like. So if you can't beat them, join them. And I love what it says here as I'm closing, and I don't have time for everything. There is a song put out by 10 years after by Alvin Lee in 1971. I love to change the world. Listen to the lyrics about this. It says, everywhere is freaks and Harrys, dykes and fairies. Tell me, where is the sanity? Tax the rich, feed the poor. Tell there are no rich no more. Now think about communism. Think about how a communist would think. I'd love to change the world, but I don't know what to do, so I'll leave it up to you. Population keeps on breeding, nations bleeding, still more feeding, economy. Life is funny, skies are sunny, bees make honey.
Who needs money? No, not poor me. We're all poor people. We need somebody to come in and take over. I love to change the world, but I don't know what to do, so I'll leave it up to you. Oh, yeah. World population, there is no solution. Institution, electrocution, just black and white, rich and poor, them and us. We need to stop this war. In other words, what Alvin's saying, we need to lay down our arms, make peace with the communists. Why are we... That mass show that you see, most publicized TV show, that was pro-communist. Okay? And I prefer... The nanny, the lady who plays that, she's pro-communist. If you listen to the words, that's why I don't like music I hear, I can't hear the words. It's the philosophy. You know, Nanny's a cute show, okay? But the producers knew about this when she went in, and I'm not bashing the lady. She's Buddhist now. Fran, her was her name. I'm not bashing her. She needs Jesus. But has the idea of a communistic lifestyle where the rich rule over and so on and so forth. I love to change the world, but I don't know what to do, so I'll leave it up to you. So, a lot of songs, my wife and I did this research before we came here, and I lost a lot of the notes, but this is one of them that I remember from. A lot of the 60s, or late 60s music, not all of it, and early 70s was communistic in their philosophy. So let me wrap this up, because we had the Lord's Supper. So we need to ask ourselves, Are we, you know, in this Babylonian lifestyle we live in today, okay, which is a picture of the apostate church, religions, communism, atheism, it's all tied in, the Muslim faith, it's all tied in to this one world religious system. Are we living worldly? Because God is a jealous God, right? He loves us. We belong to Him. You know, if somebody started flirting with somebody else's wife or husband or friend as somebody who they really love but doesn't belong to, they're going to be very jealous. Number two, are we willing to die for our faith? You know, how close are we are to trusting God all the way, right? Because a lot of things I like to keep in reserve. God's saying, nope, I want you to open up that door. I want you to open up that door to that room. Are we surprised, number three, at the lies that go on today? Yeah, I thought I knew about a lot of lies, but I tell you, there's a lot of deception. There's people out there who will take you for everything you've got, plus your relationship with Jesus Christ. It will rob it from you. And yeah, life is tough. I got it. All of you are going through some... God bless you. God keep you. God give you peace. Number four, we're almost done. Are we letting Christ rule in our lives? Okay? Just as John saw that whole picture, you know what? God's got everything in control. Isn't that wonderful? In the end, God's in control of everything. We have peace. Poor lady whose sister died, she goes, yeah, I got peace because I know I serve a living Savior. And last, are we rejoicing and that Babylon would be destroyed? Yes, but people need to know the Lord. You know? It will come, sure enough, and it seems like evil prospers, right? But we know that says that in the Bible. God allows it to reign with the just and the unjust, right? And yet we see evil prosper. It's okay, too, because we have a God that's in control of everything. So... that's all I got to say for today.